You got a pen? Extra? No, I got one. Never mind.
No.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to the October 10th Board of Commissioners meeting. Please ask that you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Here.
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 Mr. McGinnis is excused because of COVID. Next on your agenda is the approval of the agenda.
I will make the motion to approve the agenda.
You have a motion to approve. Is there
I'll
a second?
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. We're to the consent agenda. You have 8 items on the agenda, plus in the consent agenda motion. If any commissioner wishes to remove an item from the agenda, consent agenda, we can do it at this time. If not, I'm looking for a motion to. I'm
trying to bring it up here.
Chair,
yes.
I move to approve the consent agenda and all items contained therein, and authorize the county administrator to sign the attached items on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Is there
second.
A second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the consent agenda motion? Hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Bachelor?
Yes.
Commissioner Warbaugh?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner
yes. At this time of the agenda, we are open for public comment. Please come forward, state your name, and you have 3 minutes to address the commission.
Sarah Ulrich, Executive Director at Northwest Michigan Habitat for Humanity. Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. There's been a lot of misinformation regarding our proposal for senior millage funds. Therefore, I'd like to read a summary of the letter presented to the Board of Commissioners on September 22nd and hope it'll provide some clarity to the general public regarding our request and intent. It is our mission to ensure that all Emmett County residents have a safe, decent, and affordable place to live. And one way we accomplish this goal is by providing affordable repair services to existing homeowners. We have seen this need most acutely in our senior population, who often struggle to make necessary repairs and accessibility modifications when living on a fixed income. Seniors account for roughly 70% of the households we serve through this program, and that percentage is growing as more households become aware of this lesser-known program. It has come to our attention that there had been a surplus in senior millage funding last year, and we were encouraged to apply to help meet this growing demand. Our submitted proposal was to increase the overall number of senior-specific repairs we were able to complete each year. In addition, it also presented an opportunity to create a new branch of our program designed to reach senior households with extremely low incomes, as our current funding sources do not allow us to serve below 30% of the area median income. Therefore, senior millage funds would help us to reach those most in need. For example, these are households without a working heat source or a leaking roof or the ability to get in and out of their homes or use the toilet or shower because their home no longer meets their accessibility needs. We strongly believe this is a worthwhile and very needed investment that will result in household stability, health, and wellness. We are grateful to the advisory committee's recommendation for funding to launch this low to no cost senior specific repair program. However, I'm writing to you today because it has been suggested that our request for support may be impacting the funding of other senior services providers in our area. While we deem the work outlined in our proposal as a vital service to our community, it was also not the intention of our request to pull funds away from other existing programming. We recognize that there are many organizations to address the needs of our aging population and resources are limited. We wish to be collaborative partners in this work and find a solution that ensures that our seniors are receiving the care and resources they deserve. Therefore, we wish to offer a voluntary reduction in the amount recommended for our organization to ensure the best outcomes for our community. We will rely on the Board of Commissioners to determine what amount is appropriate, and we will revise our scope of work to match the amount available to our organization. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to address the board at this time?
Good evening. My name is Deneen Smith, and I'm the Executive Director for Friendship Centers of Emmett County, also known as your Council on Aging. 55 years ago, Friendship Centers of Emmett County made a commitment to the community. We assumed the responsibility of promoting and safeguarding the independence and well-being of senior citizens in Emmett County. Despite not being named in the ballot language specifically, most taxpayers believe when they vote to approve the millage, it's for the express purpose of funding our services. We lobbied for a millage for over 10 years before it was placed on the ballot. Taxpayers made their commitment to us in 1990 and have renewed that commitment every 4 years since. Senior services millage dollars currently account for about 60% of our budget. The remainder comes from grants, donations, client contributions, and fundraising. Without a millage formula to rely on, we do our very best to build a conservative budget each year that is cognizant of property tax values and growing needs of area seniors. We scrutinize every line item. We recognize that hard-earned taxpayer dollars provide for our support and that it's a demonstration of the community's commitment to us. The services that we provide impact the daily lives of senior citizens and their families. We provide baths to your aunt and a home-delivered meal to your uncle. We provide transportation to your neighbor who needs to get to dialysis 3 times a week. Our dining room provides the largest meal of the day to many seniors. We provide a cool place in the summer and a warm place in the winter where seniors spend the entire day and have formed irreplaceable connections. In fact, they dread the weekend knowing that they'll be alone. We provide foot care to your father who no longer has the dexterity to clip his own toenails. These are real accounts of real senior citizens. These seniors are friendship centers, and this is what taxpayers owe to support. We are more than a senior center where people come to play cards and socialize. We're a one-stop shop for seniors and their families to access services and resources, a community focal point, if you will. What we provide for seniors and their families cannot be equally compared to any other nonprofit, agency, or business in our community. With property tax values increasing, the senior population growing, and the cost of providing services at an all-time high, we rely on every dollar requested in our application and then some. I respectfully request that the Board of Commissioners fund the senior-specific agencies in the amounts that they have requested first and then consider other applicants. From there, I encourage the Board to determine a formula guaranteeing a set percentage of millage funds specifically for friendship centers. Without this, it is likely that future millage will be defeated as funds are spread too thin and taxpayers lose confidence. This would be catastrophic to our seniors. On behalf of myself, Friendship Centers of Emmett County, our board of directors, and the seniors that we serve, I thank you for your careful consideration.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Diane Puckett. I'm the treasurer for the Wawatam Senior Center in Mackinac City. And Anita and I have had many conversations concerning this issue and a 10% decline in what the small amount that we get would be really difficult for us to maintain what we're doing. I respectfully request that you listen to Deneen's suggestions, and I'm behind her 100%.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to address the board at this time? Mrs. Buckmaster.
Oops.
Mrs. Buckmaster.
My name is Craig Kotke. I'm one of the drivers for the Friendship Center. To go along a little bit with what Deneen has said about the rising costs, you guys all know what it costs to fill up your gas tank. Okay, we try our buses every time you get down to half a tank. Okay? That's the way it got always worked. I've been averaging $62 to $65 4 days a week. Okay. We have not passed any of that along to the seniors. Their rides are still $2.50 if they're going to an outlying area. If Deneen is forced to cut back on transportation, it's hurting your grandma, it's hurting your mom. Okay? Hurts all of us when we have a person that we won't be able to pick up any. You know, it's somebody that we know all these people. Those are the people that are getting hurt by all this. That's all I've got.
Thank you.
K-O-T-T-K-E.
There you are.
Carla Buckminster. That special transit meeting was a sham. Set up. Public input was not needed or heeded, because a pre-written motion was immediately presented and approved. A motion that had been written at 1 p.m. with the approval of the chairman and the administrator, the assistant administrator, and the knowledge of Director of Operations Grant Management. Commissioner Kuntz, who added an amendment, was aware of the motion before the meeting, and possibly other commissioners were as well. No real discussion followed the motion. Two commissioners wanted future discussion and voted such, but the motion still passed. One commissioner thumbed through a book during public comment. I don't care if it was a book about creating the very best public transit in the world. It was disrespectful up to the over 40 speaking public members, both pro and con transit. He was not listening. He had his own agenda. Neither the agenda nor the PowerPoint indicated a motion was to be made at that meeting. Rather, it stated opportunities for the Board of Commissioners to consider. No consideration happened. Not all, but most commissioners sat during the entire meeting, never saying a word. No discussion except to approve the pre-written motion. A motion that consumes almost a half a million ARPA dollars over 5 years, placing the administrator, assistant administrator, and Janue as overseers. That's costly also when they won't be able to do their other county work. Those same three people reiterated old, misrepresented transit information already fed to the trusting public as if true. But that data was from a flawed survey for spending ARPA funds. Data presented on the county's website, a website which is embarrassing with its lack of updating in all areas, old transit studies and manipulated ridership figures from MGO were spewed through an agenda PowerPoint filled with the old county logo, further pointing out they totally lack accurate historical knowledge of the county. Leaders into the future do historical research and learn. Learn from mistakes of the past. Don't just repeat the past with past inaccuracies. Most of you just want the public's money to get a nagging issue off the table, not listening for real input. That meeting was a sham, a perverse trick on the public.
Anyone else wishing to address the commission?
My name is Barb Power, and I have a mom and dad that have gone to the Friendship Center, now since deceased, that enjoyed all aspects of that. I lead one of the exercise programs, and I do it voluntarily. The benefits to seniors with exercise is huge. It keeps them mobile. It keeps them mentally sharp. There's even more to this Friendship Center than that. You know, my neighbor had did not leave her house after COVID. She's just recently passed away. But there are people the transit, they have come and they've saved lives because they interpreted that these people were not acting the way that they typically do when they drop off their meetings. There's just so many benefits to using the Friendship Center. And two, I want to say too that when I voted for this millage to pass, it said for senior citizens. It didn't say for a library. It didn't say for Habitat for Humanity. It was for senior citizens. And I understand that, and I don't know about the library at this point, but I really respect the Habitat for Humanity. And they're wanting to help seniors because that's a need as well. However, when I was voting for the funds to be going into directly to what was going to support our seniors. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the commission? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Frank Carpenter, and I may indicate that my wife has a disease that she's limited in what she can do. And so much of the daily routines are left up to me. I never basically cooked a meal until she became had this problem. And I am able, instead of eating frozen dinners each meal and that type of thing, to have a good hot meal that is a rounded meal put on by the senior center. And it's very reasonable, $3 per person. And the other activities are very helpful too. We don't take part in all of them, but we take part in some of them. And it helps my wife because she becomes involved with other people and talks to other people. And it's very helpful. I may indicate also that we checked into Independent Village, and for her and myself, they want a starting price of $7,000 a month. Well, who can afford that? And so it offers us a chance to do the same type of things that they do there. Granted, it's only one meal a day, but we can get by with that in many respects. And I should think that should be taken into account, that people do not have to go to the $7,000 a month place to have a nice living condition. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is a last-minute decision. I wasn't prepared for this. My name is Marcia Rosa. I work for the Friendship Centers. I've been there over 20 years. And I have to say, I have been in the homes of hundreds of senior citizens in Emmett County. And the need for our services is tremendous. Sometimes we are the only people they see. We are also the ones to see and report abuse and neglect. Sometimes we find them deceased. Who knows how long they would be there? We make sure they have food, they have a clean home, they have a clean body, so that they can live with dignity. I ask that you reconsider the Friendship Center and the senior-specific services we provide, because the need truly is tremendous. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address the commission? Yes, sir. Then the hand in the back.
Hi, my name is Tom Kilpatrick, and I'm on the board of directors at the Friendship Center. The funding that comes from the senior millage has funded this, the Friendship Centers for their request. I understand there's a couple of new organizations, Habitat for Humanity and the Public Library, two wonderful organizations. The thing that if you stay with it as the way that it has been presented, they will be able to add some services. We will have to cut, which means cut jobs, cut some hours of people that work full-time, benefits, and services. So what I would like, as well as Deneen, what she brought up, is that you fund the Friendship Centers, as you have for a long time, and the surplus money be divvied out to Habitat, the community, and Public Library. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Terry Weingarten. In full disclosure, I'm the president of the board of the Friendship Center, but I come here today because my day job is elder law attorney at Petoskey. And there have been so many pleas here about the importance of the Friendship Center, but I have another perspective. So my clients come in, it's not usually the spouses, it's not usually mom or dad, it's the kids. And mom and dad want to stay home. Meanwhile, that means they've got to eat. Somebody's got to have eyes on them every day. Those families can't do that because they have regular jobs, they have children. They do provide house cleaning, so the kids don't have to worry about that. It's a huge relief for the not only the seniors, but the families. And I think we've seen quite a few people talk about the importance of staying home. Everybody wants to stay home. I hear this all the time. Nobody wants to go into a nursing home. So this is critical for these families to stay where they want to be and where they're comfortable. And I would also back up what Tom and Deneen said, that we love the Habitat for Humanity and the library. The surplus funds would be more than happy to fund it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Rosalie Singh, and I've been working for the Friendship Center for 37 years now, doing the cleaning, bathing, and respite. And I've seen a lot of people over the years, like the other people that I've said. Sometimes we're the only ones that come in and see that person, and they're so glad to see you with a smile. And also, you can check on them, see if they're all right, and everything like that. So I think the program is really a great, great program. After all, they've been awesome to me, so I can't complain. And if my parents were alive, I would sure want them to help them. And I hope the program's around when I someday will need it. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the commission?
Hi, my name is Suzanne Houdin. It's H-O-L-G-U-I-N. And I'm a nurse, and I've been working at the Friendship Center for 17 years. I worked at the hospital for 22. I believe in prevention. I do foot care clinics. I do support groups. We resource for families that come to us who don't know what to do with their family members or to help them because they're getting older and have needs. And a lot of times we're the only resources affordable for them because they have no other options. And it's knowing that we're taking vulnerable people and not providing the services that we've been able to. And if we cut our staff and we cut our budget, we can't help people. And we've lived through COVID, we've survived COVID, but now to have this cut when it's the most essential needs of these people and our senior population is growing. We have new clients at our foot clinics every single week. We do 40 a week of clinics. We do more than any other county in this region. So there's needs for people that, you know, you may not think of, you know, and we do. do a lot with our Meals on Wheels and our transportation, but we're meeting the needs of people that really want to have dignity. That's part of our mission, is to provide people with a great living experience, but with dignity too, that you would please reconsider your decision and to help fund us. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Swartout is my name. Mr. Chairman, individuals and groups have been pleading for a government solution to their transportation needs for years. Most recently, a shovel-ready proposal to raise taxes and create a transit authority. I salute you for refraining for now from taking that easy and purely socialistic approach. But your board does appear to be determined to do something about transportation. Since I started paying attention to this issue last winter, I haven't heard anyone describe what they want to achieve, how they will know success has been achieved with anything that you attempt to do. So as you develop your request to the county administrator to come up with a plan to spend up to $450,000 over the next few years, I urge you to focus like a laser on what your goal is, what exactly it is you intend to achieve by spending that money, and state it clearly for the administrator, and to establish metrics by which to determine whether the goal is ever achieved, and then follow up and see whether or not it has.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the board? Yes, ma'am.
Lori Cullum, City of Petoskey. And I would like to talk to the board about the senior center funding. When the millage was put to the voters in August, it was presented as a renewal millage. It passed, and I believe voters were thinking that that would mean services for the senior centers in our county or Bay Bluffs would continue as they were. We've learned that they're looking at being reduced by 10% in a very difficult time when energy costs are going up, when food costs have gone up tremendously, to fund some new requests, which were invited because there was thought to be a surplus. I think that the new requests are serve seniors as well, but I think they should only be funded if there is an actual surplus and it's not taking 10% from the senior centers and from Bay Bluffs. The library does have services it provides to seniors. It would like to expand them. They do have their own millage with the city and with the townships that it serves. And Habitat for Humanity wants to institute a program for repairs for seniors, which is a terrific idea. I think the Senior Center has done this in the past, and I look at this as an opportunity where they could partner up together and come up with a program with both groups, which would allow the county perhaps to have a little better oversight then of where their dollars are going and the success of the program. So I'm asking for you to fully fund the senior centers in Bay Bluffs tonight and then consider additional requests. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the board?
I work at the Friendship Center and the In-Home Services Director. I just wanted you guys to take into account, not only are we helping with seniors, and we've had a lot of people call and had to turn them away recently, but it helps the families too. It helps the families stay healthy because we're there doing things that they otherwise would have to figure out how to do it. Either they'd have to pay or they'd have to take the time to come in themselves and provide that service for them, and sometimes that's not possible, but it helps those family members too, not just the people we're serving. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the board? I'm seeing no one standing up, so at this time we'll close public comment and move to our appearances. First one is the appropriation report. Mr.
Mike Larson will come up and do the presentation for you tonight. I'm Mike Larson, Deputy Director for Equalization GIS Department. I'm here to present the 2022 Emmett County Apportionment Report tonight. The report is an analysis and listing of millage rates levied in Emmett County for 2022. I see you have the report in front of you. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for...
I just have a question. Have you, once this is approved this evening, will you be mailing this to the township boards?
Once we have to wait till the end of October and it gets approved by the state before we will post it on the county website.
So then you yourself don't make sure that each township has this by email. I'm not saying
copy. I have no problem. I can email a PDF to all the townships.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I know that several of them asked me for my copy, so that's why I'm asking you if you can mail that, or I will just do it myself.
Okay, no problem.
Any other questions for Mr. Larson?
It's a nice report, Mike.
I'm looking for a motion.
I move that the board approve the 2022 apportionment report as presented by the equalization director.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. This is a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign.
Thank you.
Next. It's the Michigan State University Extension Annual Report.
Adam is here tonight. He's going to give us the presentation.
I hope it's better than the football team, Adam.
I also hope it's better than the football team, Adam. Good evening, everyone. My name is Adam Koivisto, and I'm the District 14 Director for MSU Extension. I'm here today with members of our team to present our annual report and provide a few highlights from the previous year. Thank you for over 100 years of supporting MSU Extension in Emmett County. The historic Extension three-way partnership with federal, state, and county investment allows all citizens to partake in educational programs and have local access to the knowledge, resources, and assets of Michigan State University. Tonight, I am not going to go through the annual report page by page or anything. That is a highlight of some of the programs that we did during the year, but instead I wanted to introduce some of the team members and have one of the team members talk about one of the recent programs that they did, and then I'll wrap up, and of course we can answer any questions you have as well. So tonight with us in the audience, we've got Emily Potter, Private Extension Engineer. We've got Imelda Vialdemez, Associate Program Leader for Nutrition Education in the state. And with me tonight, we've got Wendy Wieland, Extension Product Center Innovation Counselor and Community Food and Environment Institute Specialist. All of us are local, and we wanted to talk about one of the most recent programs that happened here. So I'm going to turn it over to Wendy to discuss that program.
Thank you, Adam. So a lot of people in the audience and the commissioners including are familiar with some of the tried and true extension programs that we have done over decades and decades. But one of the new offerings that we're really excited about is an 8-session facilitated discussion series called Choices for Sustainable Living. And we held this February through April up at North Central Michigan College, touching on some of the basic issues that probably come to mind in all of our minds when we're talking about sustainable communities, food, water, energy, ecology, economy, transportation. It was a fabulous series, completely hybrid, I might add, which is no small feat for anybody who's done that, where people that could join online were really embedded with the people that were sitting in the classroom up at the college. So that was really fun to do. As often happens, we work with community partners on these, and the lead community partners in this initiative were the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities and the Local Food Alliance of Northern Michigan. We also had over 8 community sponsors, whether they be private businesses or community organizations. So we enjoy doing things that are very topical and pertinent, and thank you for the opportunity to tell you about it.
A couple other things I wanted to talk to you about. I added an addendum to the report, and I've been doing that the last few years because it's really hard for us to present all the different areas that we do in one annual report. Otherwise, it would be a big, thick book of things. So one of the things that I think, one of the reasons I include the addendum to the report is you can see a laundry list of the types of classes that people attend in Emmett County. So all of these classes had at least one person in the class that was from Emmett County. And just a few highlights that we're seeing. Ever since the pandemic, we're continuing to see a lot of interest in mental health-related classes, wellness-related classes. A lot of people are partaking in those. We're also seeing a very large increase, actually, in our parenting classes. So we're happy to see that, and those are wildly popular online. And then the third area, I think this is also a bump from the pandemic, is a lot of people are taking the food preparation, like canning classes, how to can and freeze your garden produce and things that you grow. Those are growing pretty rapidly as well. So you can kind of see a list of all of the things that we've got on there. And of course, if you have a question about any one of the classes, we can get you the information specific to that. The last thing that I wanted to talk to you about tonight before I open it up for questions is upcoming on October 12th and then again on October 19th, MSU Extension is doing an online webinar on the ballot forums for the ballot initiatives coming up in November. And what these programs are is all of Extension data is nonpartisan. So what they do is they bring in experts, and the whole purpose is to educate the public on a yes vote means X to Michigan, and a no vote means Y to Michigan. And they bring in experts that present nonpartisan data about that. We did this the last time there were initiatives on the ballot. I think last time was the marijuana initiatives. We did a similar type of thing. They present research related to what other states have done and things like that, and then bring in experts on these topics. So those are both coming up. So if you're interested in those topics or if you want to recommend to constituents, it's a good way to educate yourself in a nonpartisan forum about what those votes mean. And with that, I wanted to open it up to any questions. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I serve on the Fair Advisory Board, and I'm curious about the relationship, just any few details you can give me between 4-H and MSU Extension and how that.
Sure. Well, 4-H is part of MSU Extension.
Yeah,
it's okay. A youth outreach arm of MSU Extension. Amanda couldn't join us tonight, but if you remember, I was here last month with Amanda Foster, our 4-H program coordinator. And she is responsible for that program. So she is a part of the team, and 4-H is a part of the team, and all of their 4-H activities are part of MSU Extension. We're very heavily involved in the fair. What folks see at the fair is the culmination of a year's work. So all those kids do those projects for an entire year, do all the education related to those projects, and then the fair is at the end where they're presenting to the public.
So everywhere in Michigan where there's 4-H, it's part of MSU Extension.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Adam?
Adam, I appreciate the addendum. It's wonderful how many. I was actually thumbing through it again. I see you keep the statistics of sessions, but do you keep the number of attendees and then the attendees ratio to Emmett County?
Yes, I can get that data. The front page of the annual report where it has the programming reach, that is the those reach numbers. Now, I also should point out, though, that about half the people that take online courses don't fill out what county they're from. We don't let that stop them from taking them, but we know that all the numbers that I present are the people that did indicate what county they're from, but we also know that about half the people that take those programs don't fill out that portion of it when they sign up.
It's just impressive, your list. That's only one of, what are there, six pages? But very impressive how many programs there are out there available. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Adam?
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Our third appearance tonight is the 2020 Property Tax Foreclosure Sales Report.
You see Mary back there by chance?
I didn't see Mary. Mm-hmm.
I'll fill in for Mary then on this one. I think that Mary Mitchell, our county treasurer, sent out a notification to you a few weeks back about a new procedure that they have to do with the state. And what you see in front of you tonight is that report that has to be filed, and then the governing body here must be aware of this filing.
Any questions for Mr. Boyer?
I would like the information on the 11th, if you could get that to us. On her report, there's a number of parcels ordered for closed, 11. I'd like that information.
The addresses and the locations?
Well,
I was kind of hoping she would have been here tonight to give that to you. But I will certainly get you that information.
I can go and look at the foreclosures, but I know when Mary came in here to talk about her department, she also talked to us about how the process was and that nobody was foreclosed on a first notice and stuff like that. So I just wanted a little more information on that to see if she could provide, so that if we get those questions, you know, that we can verify that those foreclosures were done properly.
Absolutely. And that's part of what this recording process is, to make sure that they're doing it properly.
Yes.
And I'll get you that information.
Any other questions regarding the report? Mr. Boyer, was there action required on that or just information?
No board action required.
Administrator's report.
Well, I cut down my report after last time because you also took away your reports, so I will not do that. Charlie's not here tonight, so I'm just talking about the airport and the work out there. We had a meeting last week at the airport. Some of you were able to see the construction work that's going on up there. We've got a 60-day window to get this work complete. They are on schedule. The weather this week after tomorrow does not look good, but we're hopefully finishing up all the grading out there. The asphalt will be laid and the concrete work will be done. So we are on schedule at this point, as long as the weather stays good. Budget preparations, we've talked about that at every meeting. That continues to go on week to week internally. But over the next 30 days, we're going to schedule meetings with you folks to go through the budget. Parks and Recreation, I know you'll report on that next week, but both of the campouts, the Halloween campouts at Camp Pendosigo were both sold out. I think the first weekend they had about 800 people there. A great event. You can see some of the other reports. And if I read all these, then I take away your report, David. So I don't
it's all right. Go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead, Dave.
But we've been busy up at Headlands, over 6,000 cars in the month of September. The good news is we had extended hours at the gift shop because we saw more people coming there. We also saw our revenue in the gift shops go up, too. The lock operation is closing down slowly but surely. It's open only on the weekends right now, and it will end, and the gates will be open starting November 1st. Tonight, later on, you'll see Veterans Service. I put that on there, received their grant for $50,000 to expand the services and to promote the services the veterans have. I did have a chance to meet with the director of the downtown parking, folks that oversee the parking, within Petoskey, and we had a conversation. They have some concerns on jury parking. I think we've worked those out, and our parking lots that we own, and the challenges that Petoskey is facing with parking. Planning and zoning will give you a quick update from what's going on with the Brownfield Authority. They have a program going where our consultant is actually the consultant was hired to do the project that's being proposed to the county, so we're out for two consultants right now, or one to, we've got two proposals in,
but one will oversee the potential brownfield, which will happen in Petoskey. One of the things that Tammy and her group has been doing is really an overhaul of all the county's zoning ordinance and the Planning Commission, going through all the procedures that we have in place and doing a major review on that. You will see that in the future come back before you. That's all I have for tonight.
Any questions for the administrator?
I just have a comment. Administrator Boyer, for several months now, we've been getting requests for NLEA reports, and I'm not sure when your last meeting is. I'm not sure if when the last meeting was, but I would appreciate an update, something,
absolutely,
so that we can put that out so that I get those emails. I know we all get phone calls on what's going on with NLEA, so if you could please put that out.
We can do that. We have a strategic planning. That's the big meeting coming up, so we're happy to do that. We did have a meeting internally with NLEA, came out, and we'll get you kind of an update on that.
I know you were concerned here at the meeting about absolutely that, so if we could get that out to the public, I would appreciate that.
Any other questions for Mr. Boyer? If Dave, we have no unfinished business, moving to our first item of new business, which is the Committee on Aging Senior Millage Fund Contract. And I'll call on Mr. Aaron, since he is the chair of the committee. Mr. Aaron.
The chair of the committee made a decision to fund at 90% all the applicants. And that was, that's what's presented to the board. If the board chooses to change that, it's up to the board.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Coombs.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of people that commented tonight that when people pass the senior millage, they don't expect cuts to popular programs. So that makes sense to me. In that light, I'd like to propose that we fund the existing programs of the Friendship Center at their requested amount of $1,658,642. The Wawatam Area Senior Center requested $64,000. I recommend we fund them at that level. Then the Harbor Springs Friendship Center requested $42,000 in funding. I propose that we fund them at that level. Bay Bluffs requested about 2.5 times their previous funding. And I noticed the other existing programs were, the average is about 3% of what they asked for in increases. So I recommend we increase Bay Bluffs at 3%. For a total of $29,870. I propose that we follow the committee recommendation on library funding of $12,375. And then the balance of that. And just to be clear, the library funding program is, I spoke with the library director today, want to deliver books to seniors who are homebound and expand the collection of books throughout the various senior facilities. And then the habitat, the remaining balance would be for Habitat for Humanity, $136,295. Now, I just did a couple of quick calculations here by hand, so that's assuming my numbers are correct. But anyway, the balance of after we fund the existing programs, Bay Bluffs at $29,870, the Petoskey District Library at $12,375. The remaining balance, in my opinion, should go to the Habitat for Humanity. And I, like I said, I think that number is $136,295.
I'm looking over at the finance director.
That's correct.
See if you agree with the numbers. I agree with what Mr. Coombs has said, but I can't make the second. So anybody else have any comments?
Is that a motion?
Is that a motion, Mr. Coombs?
I guess we could make that a motion. I'd like to see it taken care of tonight.
I'll second that motion.
A motion to second. Mr. Boyer, number one, I asked if you would ask our attorney regarding, we have some questions whether we can legally fund non-senior-specific programs, i.e. Habitat for Humanity and the library, and what
these are it says in the language, senior programs and activities. As long as this is for senior programs and directed at seniors, yes, we can fund those. And I think it's also important that we follow the contract, and we need to do some audits to make sure that these funds are actually going for senior programs.
I agree with that. We audit the fire department for a lot less money, $4,500 for the Joys of Life. I think when we're portioning up this amount of money, we need to have reports back on what we're seniors and the rest of the taxpayers never found it requested. Any other discussion on the motion in a second?
So, first of all, I take very seriously committee, commissions, and boards and the work that they do, because if we just simply go in and change the work that they do, then why do we have them? So I did take my job very seriously this evening, and I did ask for the meeting minutes. I did ask for the complete applications, and I found that they did nothing wrong. With that being said, I am in agreement with the distribution that Mr. Kuntz is saying. I appreciate that you explained the attorney ruling, because I know we all received those phone calls, letters, and emails questioning of the legality, so there is no legality. And one thing I just appreciated with the MSU extension about the ballot language coming in, it's so crucial to understand when you circle that yes or no, that you read the complete ballot language and understand what it is, and nowhere in that ballot language does it say Friendship Center. So I know that I personally have received many emails, phone calls, and those are the things I educated the people that actually took the time to listen to me and I sat down. So with that being said, thank you, Neil, for your service on that board and the board's service, but I do think that the figures that Mr. Coons has provided are acceptable.
Thank you. Well said. Anyone else? We have to fund the seniors. And since Charlie's not here, I guess that would be the senior on the board, too. So. We need to fund the seniors. Any other comments? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Wood?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Harris?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries. The funding is as requested from the Friendship Center, Water Senior Center, and Harbor Springs Friendship Center, Petoskey Public District Library, and Habitat funding. Nothing else on that item. Mr. Boyer, we're on to Compliance Officer, District Court.
Thank you. We've had several conversations about staffing, and I was remiss in my previous remarks that I think you're seeing a lot of new applications going out right now for employment. We're going through right now, we're seeing staff leaving us. We're talking internally what's happening, but people are not finding jobs at home. I think as we come out of COVID and people have to come back to work, it's harder to come back to work for 4 or 5 days. I know in the clerk's office, they have a staff member that's found a job from home. We'll be able to work from home. Katie Janu has let us know that she is also leaving. She found a job similar to what she had before. She'll be able to work from home. So I think as we move forward, we're going to have conversations. We did a nice job of looking at salaries, but we also are going to have to maybe look at our operation here as a county. We're not unique. This is going on across the board. This position that's in front of you tonight is something similar to that, where we've seen an increase because of COVID and not putting people in jail. They put people on tethers to monitor people, and it's taken away from the job that we've had in the community corrections and the community corrections programs. Through COVID, we've lost our way with what community corrections are supposed to be. These are deterrents for jail. And what tonight is to put us back on track, to look at what we've got going on, and you've got a pretty in-depth report here in front of you, to put a person back into the courts to deal with the tethers and what's going on there, and freeing up the community corrections to vision to actually do what they're supposed to do, and that's deterrent programs and put programs in place to keep people out of jail. The grant fundings that we received from the state for community corrections been reduced over the years because we have not been doing the programs. Last year, our funding came in less than $40,000. This year, if we can do what we say, that grant is funded for $80,000. That's just an offshoot of this, so that program will be funded, and then when we look, and you can see the breakdown on the cost here, that we do see some revenues and some better collection, I think, through the courts than we have right now, and be able to capture that. It is a full-time position. I think if you ask our community corrections officer, I think he put six tethers on just today. So that is the deterrent they're using right now to keep people out of jail, because we still don't want to put them in jail because of COVID and the restrictions that are going on in jail. I don't see that changing in the future. But we have a position that we're trying to add, and that would give us the folks that serve on the Community Corrections Board, you'll see that program expand.
Questions, Mr. Boyer?
I move that the board to authorize the county administrator to add the position of compliance officer for district court.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any question on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call.
Yes.
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 That is the end of new business. Commissioners, you have communications. You have five emails on various subjects for your review. We are now down to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board? You have 3 minutes. Please come forward again and state your name.
County Executive Director. I want to thank you for your careful consideration, for the thought and contemplation that went into the decisions that were made tonight. We know that the piece of the pie is only so big, and we also recognize that at some point it might grow smaller depending on property taxes. We're really focused and driven on making sure that our budget balances every year and that we can continue to provide the same level of services for seniors that they've become accustomed to over the last 55 years. That being said, I really would love to know what the Civil Legal Counsel has to say about determining a formula guaranteeing an allocation or a set-aside percentage for senior centers specifically. My fear is that as this becomes open for more folks to participate in the funding, worthy causes nonetheless, my fear is that seniors are going to be frustrated and they're going to decide to not support the millage in the long term. And that long term decision could be catastrophic to our community and to our seniors. So I'm really happy about what we did here today, but I know that I feel like we need to do more work going forward. The other thing I would like to say is I would like to personally invite each of you to come on in, stop into the Friendship Center any day, Petoskey or Brutus. We serve lunch Monday through Friday, noon to 12:30. Meet and greet some of the folks that have called. I'm sure I warned Dave that once word was out, it was probably going to spread like wildfire. So, but I would just encourage you to come in for a visit. The other thing is, I would love to be able to do a presentation for you guys at some point. David, I've also talked about that, putting us on the agenda so that we can give you a full rundown of the services that we offer. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Carla Buckmaster. I want to thank Commissioner Dreyer for reminding that we have asked how long for a report on NLEA. And just remind you, the county, our taxpayers, all the public are paying $1,500 or $1,600 a week to NLEA for what? I don't know why we have to wait for I don't know if it's a written report or what kind of a report we're waiting for, but if you've got people attending these meetings, they ought to know something that has been happening. We've heard absolutely nothing since the beginning of the year as to what NLEA has done for Emmett County. I think you better get on the stick for getting rid of them again. They've asked for a longer piece of time this time. I think, what is it, 6 months? Whereas last time the contract was less amount of time to get rid of them and wasting our money, spending it on who knows what, Sanctuary Island. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address the board? Anyone else? Seeing no one coming forward, the upcoming next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held October 20th, 2022 at 6 p.m. here in the Board of Commissioners room, 200 Division Street, Petoskey, Michigan, 49770. With that, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion is second. We are adjourned.